Hello, and you are very welcome to Kicking Match. This is a podcast all about the Irish League. I am your host, Peter Cinnamond, and on this week's episode, it's once again season preview time. The start of the NFL Premiership is right around the corner, and we're peeling off the wrapper and taking a closer look at each team's prospects ahead of what should be another thrilling campaign. So sit back, relax, as the pod is back for season number two. I'm going to kick things off with a bang. The last campaign only wrapped up, less than 90 days ago. We've had a number of spins around the transfer carousel since then, and for a while, it felt as though there was more new managers in the league than there was new players. But as we entered this brand new season, there is only one thing we know for sure. Beside the fact there's going to be lots of weather-related cancellations, the one thing we know about Irish League football is that we know almost nothing. As somebody once said, a good forecaster is not smarter than everybody else. He merely has his ignorance better organized. So prepare for some pretty well-organized ignorance, my friend. As always, I'm not alone. To assist me in this long stare into a collective crystal ball, I have two Irish League podcasters who have seen more car park protests, registration calamities, and summer football debates than they've had Dungannon Burgers. Firstly, I would like to put it on record that I booked this person well before I spent my entire honeymoon looking at Belgian street stalls. From the Waffle Podcast, it's Connor Houston.
Hello, hello, and congratulations.
Thank you. Got the plug in there early. And in the other corner, I presume he's absolutely delighted to be here, but bitterly disappointed by the lack of centre-backs his team has signed. It's Mark McGuigan from Flynets. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Peter. Congrats again, yeah.
Thank you. And he jumped in.
Yeah. Sorry. I felt like the moment.
He jumped in. We're all married men now. Can you be less married than other people? I'm less experienced.
Not so. Legally.
No, you can't be half married. I'm here. It's great. It was even better when I was running around Bruges and Ghent, having a great time being married back in Northern Ireland. It's not as thrilling as part of my life, but look, like Ronan Keating said, life is a roller coaster and I am here to ride it. And I imagine, I don't know, marriage is like a big loop to loop. I'm loving life. I had an amazing time. But I have to forget all that, as the honeymoon phase of my marriage will soon be over, because Irish League football is back, gentlemen. And according to paragraph Q, section 91 of the Northern Ireland Football Act, I am legally obliged at the start of this season to ask you how much you have missed football and to confirm how glad you are that is, in fact, back.
Great question. I, this summer, have really got into the MLS.
So you've not missed it at all. So Messi was a distraction.
This is where my life has got to, gents, where I have now, I'm the guy on a Saturday night that puts my phone onto flight mode and Sunday morning gets up and watches everything on YouTube. All the highlights. Wow. I am that committed. So I am buzzing though, because I missed a lot of last season just being away. And I am so excited to get my teeth into this term. So excited.
It's new term. It's new school year. Mark, how do you find the new uniforms of your beloved Enfield?
Tight fitting would be the start. I'm not really a man for a tight fitting shirt. I'm not really built for that. So out with the old and in with the new. So our Umbro has disappeared. Our Macron Arrows have reappeared. And yeah, we're back for another season. So yeah, new uniform, not so good. But we'll see how our team performs and see how everybody performs, of course.
Well, that's what we're here to figure out or perceive or to put our necks on the line. Let's get into the format of this forthcoming podcast. Here are the rules of proceedings. I have a bowl in front of me. It has all 12 teams in it, all from the NFL Premiership. I'll pick one at random. We'll talk about that team. And then you, listener, get to go on Twitter and tell me how much you hate all the things that we said. So let's get started, gentlemen. First team out of the bowl is going to be... Coleraine. Hey, I remember doing this episode last year. And if we put our minds back to this time... last August, Coleraine were quite hip. Right now, they're the potential new money team in the league, but everybody was kind of getting excited about Coleraine. They get all these new players, they look quite fashionable, and everybody was thinking, could this be Coleraine's year? One minor problem, and they're kind of the same problems last season as the other seasons, and that was they couldn't really beat the big teams around them, And if it wasn't one way of winning, if it wasn't one way of working, aka like blitzkrieging teams with lots of nippy boys and then there's Shevlin to knock it in, little wily man in the box, it never really came together. Now that they've settled this team in, I'm sure Owen Kearney would say, they're settled in, they've had a season, they've had their ups, they've had their downs. Is this a year where they can push on, perhaps not become champions, but they can perhaps start to establish themselves where they're making the teams at the top a bit more nervous? Is this the year where Coleraine are coming out saying, don't even talk about us being the team that could drop out of the top six. We are top six. We're not going anywhere. And we're going to get other people sweating instead.
I'll allow it. You know, why not? I did read, so there's money coming into Coleraine from somewhere and they believe they'll win the league in the next two or three seasons.
Yes. So talk is, won't impact this league season from what we're reading, but there is talk over the weekend that there are people who are businessmen from the area that aren't living there but from the area, and they are looking to invest multiple millions of pounds. It would make Coleraine full time, but all those discussions need to be hashed out, needs to be discussed with the people who are looking after the club, friends of Coleraine. So if that's going to happen, it will come like later on. Won't be at the start of this season. Essentially what we have with Coleraine is what we have got. I like a lot about what Coleraine have. They were patchy, as in they were patchy good, they were patchy bad. They were really exciting up top for a while, and then all of a sudden they're really good at the back and they weren't letting any goals in for like a crazy stretch. Their big thing is, one, they just aren't able to pull that all together. They do get caught when they play against teams in the bottom six. We've seen it before. And as we've said again, they just are not getting the big results. I don't, like, when was the last time you saw Coleraine get the best of Linfield, for an example? It feels like they get a draw, they get 0-0, they get 1-1, and they're happy with it. And if they're really to push on and not just be in top six, competing in the top six, and it's something we always talk about in this podcast, it's about winning those big games. Are they built to do it? I'm not 100% sure. But if they get on a roll, they have the confidence, they have the players to do this. Shirley, Shevlin, Clacken, I love McKendry. They've got that steel at the back. When's it going to finally happen, Mark?
That's a very good question, Peter. And we don't know, of course. As we have just heard from your good self, that there's just been so many patches for Coleraine, and I don't know when that patch is going to turn into a real, real strong run of games and a couple of crazy results against top six teams. I know you'd mentioned results against Linfield. They really did struggle against Linfield last year. And there were too many draws against Linfield. There were too many defeats against Linfield. And let's be quite honest, when was the last time they did beat Lorne? Have they ever beaten Lorne? I don't ever remember. but listen, there's been lots and lots happening last year. Not so much this year, sort of transfer-wise. Are we going to surprise ourselves and see Coleraine pull off some big money moves next year? But they're saving themselves this year. Who knows?
It's something with them, and I highlighted it slightly. It's the plan B, what everybody talks about. And look, it's a pretty great plan A, let's be real, with Shevlin, top goal scorer last season, Glacken's dangerous, other players, Lee Lynch is able to burst from the centre of midfield. And I don't want to overhype one transfer, but Dave McDade was the one real bright spark for Ballymena. He has quality. I've seen it in patches in pre-season. He can get in the ball. He can push forward. He can find a pass. He is that danger man in the box. I feel as though he gives them a second option where you can play maybe Shevlin and McDade up top together, or you can take Shevlin off and give some of the bit more experience in McDade. Look, Shevlin's done great things this league as well, but McDade is a character who has experience, has been there in the big games. If I then have to put a placing for them this season, it's not mega high, but I do have them improving, because I think that with the likes of Kelly coming in from Lorne, I just think this team knows itself a bit more. I do think they'll be able to be competitive in some big games, but I have found them in previous years, once they get knocked back, they kind of like accept, okay, we're not really going to get a win against Glentoran away. If I was a Coleraine fan, I would want them to get a big win early and for them to just race out of the traps. A bit like against Cliftonville last season. That was amazing. If they can do that and get it going, happy days. And they sort of have a good run to do that, where they have Ballymena at home, then they go away to Loughall, Carrick Rangers, then have the big game against Lorne at home though, and then they've got Dungannon away. You're sitting there with 12 points, maybe 13. That's the type of stuff where you can start a good run.
But do you think that that is... Do you think Oren saying to those players now, we're going to win the league?
I think if you talk to him, he'd say absolutely.
That they could?
They could. I think it's like, guys, we're a football team. We have... This is something I'll definitely say a lot during this episode. And it's one thing I feel like I learned last year in the league is it's 50-50 in winning this league. Is one, you have to not make as many mistakes. And you have to let other teams almost make the mistakes. It's avoiding mistakes, which would probably lean into get a draw against them, feel it's all fine. So it's a part of, you have to not make mistakes because we've seen other teams somewhat have their little meltdowns. But also it's keep the consistency. You got to do your own thing, but also not let yourself down. And I think that's, if we look back at Lauren, you'll go, Lauren were never mega exciting, but they never let themselves down in big patches. They did win out massive. They got big wins against Linfield. They were consistent against other teams like Coleraine. So, and I'll say this with pretty much every top six team, you get a win against Lauren, you're feeling good. You beat the other teams, 15 out of 15. That seems unlikely, but let's say it's 15, 14, 13. Why not? Why not? All of a sudden, Glenn Turner, I remember that McMenamin tackle game where you're thinking...
Which one?
Oh, we all know the one. Where Coleraine were on the precipice of potentially being in the mix, and it felt as though that didn't work out. They don't get a win against Linfield. I forget what else happened along the way. And it fell away, and they never looked as title challengers. I don't think they will be title challengers, but if they get a good start, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to say fifth. Right, one down... 11 more to go. We've got our flow. I can feel the tirade of Coleraine believers or Coleraine fans are looking to tell us it's all going to go wrong. It's all going wrong. We didn't sign McMenamin and the season's all over. But I've kind of jumped ahead of myself and I've picked out my team. And team number two is Loch Awe. New boys, guys. Whoa. The new guys that have come into the league. And I don't know if you know this, guys, but Loch Awe are a team that comes from the smallest settlement.
No.
I know. I can't believe people have me talking about this.
I haven't heard that.
The smallest settlement, apparently, that's in the top flight in Europe. So I've got a quick question for you. A tiny bit of knowledge before we get into the team. Which Irish league ground is Loch Awe's closest of all? I don't know what your geography's like, but to help people, they might go, I don't know where Loch Awe is, like somewhere west of Belfast. So I've got Dungannon, Portadown, or Armagh. Which is the closest to?
I'll shoot my shot and say Home Park, Armagh.
Do you agree?
I'm going to say Portadown.
There is 1.4 miles in it, and it's Armagh City.
There we go. Oh.
So there you go, guys.
1-0.
Loch Awe, it's kind of in the middle of Armagh, Dungannon, and Portadown. But now we know where they are, and we know they're really small. We'll talk about lots as well. Let's be upfront about this. Loch Awe come into this season, their first time in a 12-team top tier, as massive underdogs. I would suggest that they probably have the smallest budget in the league. They have a team that isn't awash with well-known Irish League players, which would normally mean that it doesn't look good for them. General consensus is they will finish last, and perhaps they will. What do I think will happen? In all sincerity, guys, I do not think that's going to be the case. I know that means I'm going to be predicting another team finishing 12th, but I think this Loch Awe team has a bit about them. I think they've got cohesion. I think they've got a bit of gusto. And I think they have a winning mentality, which they are going to bring from the championship. I do not think Lakeview Park is going to be an easy spot, tight pitch for teams to go down. If it's sitting there 0-0, if they're lucky after 70 minutes, they could sneak out a wee result one way or the other. They do not have all these big star names, but let's be honest, none of the teams around, particularly the bottom half of that bottom half, do. I looked into it. Loch Awe scored more goals in their championship season than Uri did, and they conceded less. So I'm kind of banking on the fact that this team is going to be better from the sum of its parts, but I haven't found anybody else that agrees with me. Is there one in this room?
I'm not going to lie. I agree with you. I think they might go down, but I also agree in the fact that they're not going to go down without a fight.
Yeah,
I think it's not going to be same issue that Portadown had at the start of last season where they couldn't buy a win for love nor money. But I think that the, as you said, the cohesion and just the consistency in that Loch Awe team last year will have to come through to this Premier League season because it simply can't just disappear. You know, that's something that they build up and they've built up with Dean Smith, who believes been what manager 7 years now. that's something that just doesn't disappear just because you've got promoted.
They have to look at the Newry model and how they were able to stay up and go, that's what we're aiming to do. And it's funny you bring up the Poor Down example. It's almost like the complete polar opposite. This time last year, we were talking about this Poor Down team that was just a load of random boys that didn't know each other's first names. Yet, you know, what was their strongest foot? These Lockall fellas probably know what their auntie's names are for their left back, you know. And to highlight some of the players that I think are some of the key ones in this team. Everybody knows Ben Murdoch. He's the captain, 31. And I would say, actually, he's probably a better centre-back than a lot of the other teams would have in the centre of their defence. Pablo Andrade, nippy little spiky player out wide, coming from deep. Nathaniel Ferris, striker, pinging them in during pre-season here. Aaron Duke, scoring a lot of goals before the end of the season. Big target man. You have the experience of Ali Taggart, Mark Patton, Benji McGee can do a bit. Keelan Loughran is an experienced centre-back. So these are not names of players who have done it at the absolute top level, but I think they come in, they get one or two good results, and if last season's anything to go by, you need a decent amount of points, but you don't need to be winning week in and week out. And yes, I don't expect them to be getting results against Crusaders and Glentoran all the time. But, for example, this first weekend, Newry against Lockall, I think that's a bit of a toss-up. I know it's a way to Newry, but that's a toss-up. I'm a big believer in Lockall, and I do believe they're not going to finish 12th.
That's fair. I think their good points are made. I mean, I support Fulham, so I know when a team gets promoted, they've got the momentum. Like, they probably have won more last year than most other teams in all three of the leagues, of the top leagues. So they're coming in with momentum. They start against Newry, as you said. Probably a bit of an ideal start. You know, you'll be looking around if they're Lockall, seeing how maybe Dungannon starts, seeing how Ballymena start and Carrick. And if there's a few draws there and they put a win in, they're 2 points ahead of those lads already. And, like, I know that's a weird mentality to have, but I think you're right. They'll approach it maybe attackingly, whereas last year we maybe saw more the Dungannons, the Newries, the, you know, teams down at the bottom, Border Down, more defensive, being like, we can't lose. I think Lockall are going to be like punching for it.
What they do not have is experience up top. We saw how Border Down weren't doing anything until they were able to get Paul McElroy, and goals was a real weakness for that team. I'm bigging up Aaron Duke, I'm bigging up Nathaniel Ferris, and, you know, there seems to be goals from around the team. But if they aren't able to step up, it could be a very difficult season for Lockall. So I totally understand. I could be here talking about Lockall losing every week and finding it really tough to get them rolling. And I think the earlier they can get rolling, the better. But I just do not think they're going to be the absolute whipping boys that some people think they are. So I'm predicting, very boldly, 11th. Right, and we go. And Cliftonville. I have this feeling, and maybe it's just me, that this coming season very much feels a bit like last season, but part two. Like, it feels like it's a bit of a continuation from last season. You look at it team by team, nothing dramatically has changed. It feels more like each team have held what they have. It's more about evolution than revolution. Cliftonville's a good example of this. Some people may say that if you aren't moving forward, you're moving backwards. And some teams have broadly stood still. Nobody stood still quite like Cliftonville. They're a team who their season completely fell off the cliff near the end. They lose a manager. It all falls apart at the back. It didn't go well. Then they're trying to find a new manager. That took 2 months. It took 2 months to get in Jim Magilton. They had talks. Didn't happen. They went after Chris Lindsay. That didn't happen. Back to Jim Magilton again. Here we go. They needed bodies in defence. So far, we haven't seen that on the whole. They got a lot of attacking play, but rumours that Ronan Hill now might be out ain't great. Ben Wilson coming in, I'm sure he's coming in from Brighton. I'm sure Cliftonville fans will hope he is going to be their Ben Kennedy, this little attacking spark. But I really do worry about Cliftonville, because I think it was a team who were trying to recreate the season where they were 1 point off the title. They really wanted to keep that nucleus of that squad, but that squad is a season and a half older, and there's no way I'm saying Gormley or Curran are done. But to even get to the same place they were last season, where they were in the mix, fell off, and then lost it in the playoff. They need the heels to start scoring all the same amount of goals, and it was a huge amount. They need Gormley to perform again and get in that big run. And underrated, I think Curran got a lot of goals that people forget about. They are going to have to recreate that. I don't know if they're going to, but if they are going to do well, they need to do a few things. They need to sort things out at the back. Coaching will be a big part of that. They've got a new manager. Let's see what Magilton can do there. But also, I think personnel is a big part of it. So I have more questions than answers. They have a few more weeks to add bodies. But a title run feels way too far out of their reach at this stage.
It's not even close for a title run, I don't think. The biggest diehard Cliftonville fan in the world does not think that they are going to challenge for a title at all. You know, they're not coming anywhere near the standard, certainly near the end of last year, that they were that season before. That really, really pushed Linfield to the brink that season. Linfield were very, very lucky to lift that title that year. But listen, as you said, Peter, it's just a lack of bodies that have come in through the door. We knew what the problems were. We all saw right at the end of last year how things were going and how they weren't going, really. So what have they done? Absolutely nothing. They've lost Levi Ives. They've lost Colin Coates. They've lost Moore as well, of course, to West Ham. So there's three of probably their strongest players last year have now gone, well, to the Irish League teams, of course, Moore across the West Ham, but it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for a title challenge. They're not going to get relegated, of course, but, well, we never know. It's the Irish League. But, listen, they're aiming for top six in a cup run, in my opinion.
That's, surely if you're a Reds fan, like Connor, that's tough to hear.
I'm going to try and put a positive spin on this. Even just as Corey and as we've moved on, I know from thinking about them, like with Cliftonville, you do underwrite them at your mercy. I do feel like, okay, there are injury concerns. The squad is thin. But to me, I feel like Magilton's a good appointment. You know, he certainly has contacts. There's a rumour Sean Stewart, who I know purely from Football Manager, he plays for Norwich, and he was linked heavily today. I can't imagine there won't be at least some big names that are interested or are coming in. I know they missed out on a few boys that, you know, we've heard have been linked. I do think, like, if they can get a bit of a run together, Solitude's a difficult place, as we know, to go for a team. Like, so I think, okay, they're not going to win it, but people maybe rightly are saying, oh, they're going to fall apart, and, you know, they'll be not down the bottom, but probably like sixth, seventh. I still think that there's enough there, and even in Magilton, and even in, like, imagine you're looking for a goal, and Joe Gormley's on the bench.
That's one thing you don't worry about with them is the fact that they can pull a goal out of anywhere. It's just if the injuries creep in, it doesn't go together. Like, listen, last year we were talking about Jamie McDonagh, and that's a key example about having to recreate. McDonagh wasn't able to recreate the sterling form that he had in that title charge. So that was many ways filled by Sean Moore. And you also have to replace Sean Moore. My big worry is if you're to push on, you need to fill exactly, you got to fill up your cup to the same level and then go beyond. And I think Reds fans are accepting that this is a project, but a project doesn't always give the results. Another year without Europe, all of a sudden, are you not shopping in the same area of the shop as the other teams around you? This could be a very tricky season for Cliftonville, and I wonder, will the fans have patience, and could that impact the dressing room quite negatively? Because big games come thick and fast. And as you saw with Glentoran, you can be flying high in September, crying in November. So it's the one team that I'd worry on a big run. And I'm going to have to stick my neck out here because I do believe this. I've done my table. I have Cliftonville 7th.
I'm serious. Brave man.
What's your Twitter handle?
At Kicking Match, follow me. It's all the same. No, but genuinely, I think the defence is such a big issue. You lose Levi Ives. Are they going to keep the same system? Are they going to have to change it up? Casey's going to come through. I know he is. They do have great players. Lowe, McDonagh, all the attacking players that keep getting mentioned. But we talked at the end of last season, goalkeeper, disaster. You talked to our Reds fans, they're pulling their hair out. They've got a goalkeeper in, but we don't know if he's the answer, and it could be another issue. So with all that being said, and other teams looking more settled, and it might come close to the wire, like realistically, 6th and 7th doesn't matter that much, bar one game. Well, I am going to say I think they could get a bad start. It all falls off, and I think they could slip out of the top six.
You're a brave man, Peter.
Yeah,
I'm a brave
really
man.
Really nervous saying that.
It's what I believe. This could be my moment. I believed in Balomino last season, and it didn't go well. And perhaps my foretelling of a difficult bumpy patch for Cliftonville could come back to haunt me. Okay, let's see where we go now. I really hope I'm not pulling out the same team twice here. We have Glenhaven. People talk about difficult second seasons. Not many people talk about the difficult 10th anniversary season. Glenhaven are coming off this real glory period, and it's very much a shadow that looms large over this team. You have the same manager. Yeah, you have some of the players that were still about there. And while Glenhaven fans have got used to this idea that it's, can we nick sixth? But the main aim is to get seventh. That feels like it's getting more and more difficult as every season goes on. There's no doubting Gary Hamilton's ability as a manager, even though Glenhaven fans did do that at some point last season. He ended the season really, really well. He got that seventh place. And if you look at that team, there's a nice mix of experience and real winners in there, particularly at the back. And you've got some young players who are exciting. But Linfield just went in and ripped out a dividing wall of that team in Fitzpatrick. They were remunerated for said services, but I look at the team sheet, and as we talked about with Cliftonville, who is filling that gap? I haven't seen it just yet. And on top of that, you have young players like Prendergast, Doran, Isaac Bird. Are they going to take on the next step? I think they're probably going to need to. They've taken a flyer on a couple of other players. And for a Glenhaven fan base who felt kind of demoralized at times with their frustration of not doing it against the teams in the bottom six, but getting these big wonder results against some of the top six sides, I just wonder, when you take out Fitzpatrick's goals, does it all start to look even less rosy than before?
Yeah, I think that would be my concern for Glenhaven. Glenhaven will, as we all nearly can expect, they will unearth an unbelievable new talent.
Oh, absolutely.
The next Mark Sykes, the next Bobby Burns, the next Reese Marshall. There'll be an unknown child that's enjoying their summer playing Fortnite right now that in 2 months will be the hottest prospect in the Irish League that we'll all fall in love with. But I would be maybe a bit worried for Glenhaven. Exactly as you're saying, we all have this, you know, when we talk about Glenhaven, we're like, oh, they'll have a good run in the Irish Cup. But actually, for the last few years, they've really struggled with that, and they've had those early exits. And for that to be, you know, what your whole season's about, it is difficult. And I know that they've obviously got different constraints, maybe financially from other clubs or from expectations of the top six. But I just maybe would worry that this will be maybe, you know, Carrick caused them a lot of trouble last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you imagine us saying that 5 years ago. So I would worry a wee bit. But I love Glenhaven, so I'm worried.
Do you see the same kind of fall, Mark? And if so, how far down?
I actually see a jump up.
Wow.
Good, I'm glad.
Obviously, you're never going to replace Fitzpatrick in one window. But as you said, they've had to shop around. You know, cost of living crisis and all that's been happening. People have had to shop in places they've never shopped before. Glenhaven ended up shopping down at Bourneview Mill and Crumlin United. But they have managed to pull goals. Mooney, according to my research, 22 games in the league last year, 19 goals.
That's hot.
Nesbitt, 18 goals and 25.
This is hype. I love this.
So it's a very football manager move from Gary Hamilton.
I love that. They also got Tiernan Mulvenna.
Yeah.
But not that Tiernan Mulvenna, a new.
From Crewe, not Crewe in England, but Crewe outside Antrim. Phenomenal.
That's also a very football manager. Sign a player, he's the same name as a good player from before. Love it.
Unreal. Gary knows what he's doing.
And he did his old favourite trick, like his little loop-de-loop. Nell Quinn?
Yeah,
I know. Let's go, boys.
Yeah, that's how it goes. You know, he's done that for how many years? Of those 10 years, has he done that? At least 9. Listen, Quinn is one of the best fullbacks in the league. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
If he'd have gone to a top six side, would anybody have been surprised? Probably not. Gary Hamilton has got a gem there. Quinn was one of the best players Linfield had for a long time. Just maybe struggled near the end. Just wasn't keeping up. But listen, I'm glad to see him still playing for a very, very good side. Gary Hamilton knows what he's doing, and I think that maybe that Irish League dream, well, who knows? Is it sixth? Can they dream? Is the dream sixth? Probably.
Oh, it's an absolute dream.
Sixth is the dream, but listen, keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Go, Gary.
They still do have Campbell. He can be a spark as well. So I'm going to, very broadly, I'm going to put them as eighth. Why I'm going to put them. Eighth, just miss out, just behind Cliftonville. They will have their big games against top teams, and no doubt they'll probably get beat 3-0 by Loughall at some point. And I'm sure Glenavon fans will know that is almost guaranteed to happen. So you never know. Like you said, maybe they'll pick out some great players out of nowhere, but it's maybe about consolidating what you have again and developing some of these great players that they hopefully believe that they have. Okay, we jump in and we have Carrick Rangers, their enemy from last year. And they were able to fend them off. And, you know, I was a wee bit worried for when Carrick came out of this bowl because I didn't know if I was going to overcorrect my feelings on them from last year, because when I was sitting here doing my prediction, I feel as though I got a wee bit in my head about, you know what, all these players they have, they have to fall off at some point. Cushley cannot be Cushley forever. Jim Irvine cannot be Jim Irvine forever. I decided that these players who have experience aren't going to be able to do the business, and perhaps that their new players aren't going to be able to step up in the same way, and they're going to be mingling around in relegation swampy land. That never happened. They got their good start just like they did the season before, and broadly, they were able to stick it around. The players that were impressive for me were the likes of Mitchell. Oh my goodness, Alan, if he stuck around all season, what could they have done? And now I look at this team and I go, ooh, a little bit of Nez Macalitis, like a bit of that. Danny Perkis, what a signing, like the absolute tank. You looked at that man and go, if he signs for any other top six team, he's probably starting, probably knocking in the goals. For Carrick to have him and Alan, Macalitis, Mitchell pinging balls in, you have Tilney constantly coming in from the left-hand side. They can keep it tight at the back, and they do what they did last season where they just attacked and were dogged and fought every game. They can completely take care of their other bottom six compadres. They can make it difficult down at Taylor's Avenue against some of the top six sides. The one thing, if you want to do to break through that glass ceiling, is goals. And I think this Carrick Rangers team has goals. They go 2-0 down, they are still thumping that ball into the box. And they're going to get some of these goals, as we saw last season. A ball coming off Curtis Allen's back if he's still on the pitch. Perkis is going to bully some defenders up and down the league. I am all aboard the Carrick hype train. I'm just going to say it. You know what I'm going to say it. I think they're finishing sixth. I think they're finishing above Cliftonville. I think this team is not a fully complete team, but they've got match winners throughout the spine of that team. And I'm not going to doubt what Stuart King can do.
Sure, he's at the wheel, like, phenomenal, phenomenal. He's pulled off that wonderful move yet again of signing two players from Larne. Seems to be the going rate. But listen, two signings from Glentoran as well that we've already discussed. One being Danny Perkis, absolutely massive signing. But Joe Crow coming in there. So hopefully no registration issues for Mr. Crow this time. I always like that job.
In the centre midfield exactly. as well. Like, exactly. These are the type of people you need 100%. To bring in and the step up.
100%. Now the loss of Anderson might be one that comes back to bite them. When you look at the outgoings, the incomings really, really outweigh the outgoings there, which is something that can't be said for a lot of teams in the league. They've really done well, and I really think that Perkis fits that mould for a Carrick striker. A lot of experience, lots of goals within him. But the only issue is, as you already said, do they have that sort of fly and fall I haven't noted down as? Well, is it possible?
Is it?
Who knows?
Ah!
Who knows? But I'm gonna say it might happen again. Consistency is key. 3 years in a row. Eighth.
Hey, we have to put them somewhere. Connor, you aboard the Amber.
I'm always aboard that. My probably biggest regret in life is I grew up not too far from Carrick. As I then to tell you, just a regret I've just thought of, but I grew up near Carrick, and until recently, probably wasn't too proud of that. Not that they're, but proud in the football team, in the football team sense. I feel like everyone has another bold statement, but I feel like Carrick are nearly everyone's like second or third team.
Oh yeah. Well, it's mainly because they have half the players who used to play for your team there.
True.
Oh look, like Saudi Arabia.
the Saudi league of
they're just detracting everyone.
Like, oh yeah, remember them.
Like you're saying, Albert Watson as well to go into that team. Of course. Like it's just winners as well. I love that there's some compassionate people who will always be like, we're on the Carrick are off to Europe. I think there is this building hype online that Carrick can do this. What I would love is a cup for Carrick. I think that's how they get there. Maybe the wee League Cup, because they've got the finals before.
I would also claim
County Antrim Shield.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of these things would prove me right, I think.
Yeah.
It's great a few things where I can be proud at the end of the season where they could win this, they could win that. I thought it all. Honestly, I think they will get... They'll get one or two wins in Belfast against those teams, and I feel strongly about them. Experience, bit of quality. Here we go. Carrick for Europe, why not?
Let's do it. I think it's also unexpected that like Carrick will get that. I know we've all just announced that they will, but if we're saying that they're not going to get it, like they have this underdog mentality no matter who they play. They'll be playing Loch Gall and be like, oh, these guys should beat us. And that's what, you know, that's nearly what they're using. That's what Shear King's using to be like, let's go.
I just think they have that. They have that attitude of unrelenting, and it's just about keeping the consistency and not, if and when the good run comes, they just don't take their eye off the ball and get caught on the break by a Newry. Yeah, feeling very confident about it. Hopefully I'm not feeling less confident about it when it comes around to the end of the season. Okay, let's go around to it. I'm gonna hand this over to my wonderful blue friend. Linfield has finally come out of the bowl. They could have had a wonderful, would have been a fifth in the row if they would have won it last season. Would have been brilliant. We could have saw Healy ride into the distance, maybe into the Northern Ireland job or something fun. It didn't happen. We saw a continuation of the tail end of the season where they were able to get over the line and win the title. We had McDade gate, then we had Lafferty gate, and it was all somewhat spurred on to, I hope this is maybe like the third to final last time where we're still talking about that team from Latvia, where you never got over Latvia, let's be real.
No.
And we talk about Corey not winning big games. Linfield didn't win, bar Boxing Day. Like, I just do not remember. I'm once against Lauren. I just don't remember Linfield coming up and going, here we go, we're going to win this league. There was chance for them to do it, and they didn't do it. And I think, yes, they've got in Fitzpatrick. I don't know if they're as strong as they were last season.
I think I know that they're not as strong as they were last season.
Why is that?
It's just, I don't know. I've got a really, really nervous vibe about this season. In many ways, I'm not looking forward to this season. It could be a very long, drawn-out affair if things do not sort of change. Listen, I've been at both our European games over here. Some poor defending. I'm not sure if anybody's seen that very poor defending. There were five very poorly defended goals on Thursday past. That was fun. Listen, things have gone the other way in that game. We might have been saying Linfield have got a really good result. It's 3-3. So, listen, the only issue for me, well, one of the issues, is our outgoings. Sam Roscoe and Jimmy Callagher were our two centre-half stalwarts last season. Jimmy's obviously gone to Crusaders. Sam Roscoe has gone over to England to Aldringham. What are we going to do about that? Said David Healy. Sign no other replacement centre-backs.
We haven't replaced them. And it wasn't an area where you were going, we've got this sorted.
No, last year.
And Callagher looked great. I know it's one of the Charity Shield. He looked great. He looked like he'd been at the centre park for Crusaders for absolutely years. He was a leader. He has the strength, the experience, the frame. And bar Shields, I just don't see the experience. I don't see the leader in that team. And yes, you're missing Fallon in the centre of the park, and you're probably figuring out how you're going to play. You've got a few new bodies. But going in, and I know they're not playing the first weekend of the season, but Linfield need to be firing on all cylinders, and I'm just not seeing it.
You can't slip up. Listen, we only lost two more games than Lauren last season and lost the league. That's how cutthroat this league is at the minute. We look at Linfield last year and we say, oh, they were miles off. 6 points is not miles off, but it was, those 6 points felt a lot more. It felt like 16.
But that was built on the foundations of whipping the bottom six.
100%, 100%.
And we were
going into those bottom six games getting 3 points, but silly draws up at Coleraine and just stupid results against the Glens. And of course, listen, Lauren won the league fair and square last year, but Linfield didn't lay a glove on Lauren hardly. last season. That's where the issues lay, in my opinion. But
so where does that leave the Blues? Are they going to be lacking in goals? Because McKee looks like he's stepping up. You'll eventually get McDade back. He could finally start banging the goals in. Fitzpatrick, if you want goals, you've signed the man for it. I don't know what way you're going to set yourselves out when he gets to week-to-week competition. And I don't see Linfield constantly slipping up against a Glenavon or a Dungannon, etc. each week. But they could be competitive against the teams around them. But I just don't know if they're consistently going. Like, I think about that game near the end of the season, 0-0 against Lauren. They had their chance to maybe sneak it, but they sat back and were almost accepting the draw. I don't know if they're going to be able to go through the gears when it comes to those games.
I don't think they've got gears, Peter. That's my sort of thoughts.
But you have Joel Cooper, and you have maybe Dara McBrien coming in from Dungannon.
No, Dara McBrien came in from Dungannon.
Oh, confirmed.
Spoiler.
Confirmed.
That's an interesting signing, because that's not a Linfield signing to me. Because
no, absolutely not.
Because he had been out all last season, and you're thinking, like, I thought he was amazing. Like, I thought he was the smartest man in the world. Talking about Grady is. But then where does he play? Are we going for 4-3-3 for Linfield this season? Or what's the vibe?
Hopefully David Healy hasn't heard you say that, because David doesn't like hearing the word 4 at the start of a formation. Has to be 3 or 5. So it's 3 at the back at the minute with one recognised centre-half.
What is the goals going to be the issue? Is the goals going to be the problem conceding them? Do you feel as though you're going to score enough, or is that an issue as well?
I personally didn't think that we were going to have an issue going forward. But when someone pointed out to me, what happens if Fitzpatrick gets injured? And what happens if McKee doesn't hit form? Ethan Devine, this is another, not a spoiler, but listen, it's just happened tonight, has gone to Dungannon in, you know, sort of opposite way. That'll probably benefit him a lot, but who are we left with?
Change my...
Yes, exactly, Devine time. But I'll pull a positive, I will find one. Jack Scott has looked absolutely phenomenal as a right wing back. Yeah. But listen, we're going to find out how that works. But 3-5-2 for Linfield is going to finish in the third position, Peter.
Talking about those big games, I have Linfield as fourth, which is dramatic.
I had them fourth as well and scribbled it out.
I just think those big games are going to jockey them down. And look, I actually think this league will be close. I do. Second to fourth is not a 16-point gap in my eyes. So it's just game here or there. I do worry about goals. What is it about these big games? I feel as though they don't go for it. They restrict themselves. When are they going to get out of their own heads and just go? Because what Linfield used to have is this unrelenting confidence, beat their chest, puff out. We, like this New England Patriots, like, we do not lose. They used to have this Brady-esque confidence about them. Is that a leadership thing? Or what is it? Because Europe looks like it's gone, and it's just about being big boys in the league now.
Europe's 100% gone. We're not going out there and scoring 3 goals. I think they had that sort of character for years of how dare you score against us sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Don't poke the bear.
Just made them more angry.
Yeah, just that's just gone. The bear is aging, unfortunately.
But what I think Linfield does have still is the Windsor factor. Yeah. I think some teams are terrified by Windsor, and that's...
It's the size of the pitch. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous compared to when you go down to Seaview and you're like a foot away between the 18-yard line and the byline. Windsor's absolutely huge, and that can be a factor, certainly against bottom six teams. I think it was it against Newry? We maybe won 7-0 last year, and the pitch was such a deciding factor. It was huge compared to the Newry Showgrounds, and that's where we sort of pulled away. But I'm not sure whether that's going to have much of an effect this year.
Would a Blues title win be a shock to you, Connor?
I think at the end of the day, you're still Linfield. Like, Mark, whatever happens, you're the team that everyone looks at and is like, that's Linfield. Do you know, like, where other teams pre-season, the likes of Cliftonville, Corrie and below, have played, you know, poorer oppositions. You've gone and experienced Europe and European, you know, fully professional teams. Okay, still need to make some moves. But I do think, like, to suggest Linfield fourth, which I know is happening, like, to me, it just feels like I've never felt at the start of a season that Linfield fans are more pessimistic. Probably more pessimistic than most other teams in the league, other than maybe Cliftonville, maybe Ballymena. But I do think that there's still... I don't like your shirt. I feel like a lot goes around
this
the shirt.
Yeah, that shirt stinks.
I feel like I'm driving it as well. But I didn't realise, there's big badges on the sleeves. I didn't know that's an interesting...
I was having a discussion about it with a friend of mine at the game, and then I turned around and saw a child beside me wearing it, and I was like, it's not all that bad, after I had just slated it for about 5 minutes.
It's all right. Okay, so we're less positive maybe on Linfield, but maybe they'll come back. Connor's a bit more positive. I know you're feeling down, but you can pick up your team. Here we go. You can pick up what's going on.
Let's see. Who have we got there? Have a read at that. Glen Torren.
We do have Glen Torren. Back to back, the Bel Clasico. Do not use the words B and 2. I actually listened back to last season's first episode of this, and I was really quite bullish about Glen Torren for all the reasons that we saw made them amazing, and that was swift attacking play, lots of bodies, strong midfield, a real solid defensive line, and players you can just torment you up at the top. Here is what Glen Torren are losing. The best player in the league, maybe the best Irish League player of the past 5 years. Someone who's a difference maker, but they had to do without him for long stretches as well last season. You lose Devlin, but look, Devlin was on the ascendancy. He wasn't your absolute main man. They kept Burns. They've pretty much kept the same squad. They found Junior, who I think could go into this season as a more integral part of the team. They've got bodies in every single position. And then they sign one of the best players, one of the true stars in this league, in Faudsoulé. I'm hyped, boys. I'm hyped about them again. The question is, can they all keep it together? Like, I don't think we're going to believe that Glen Torren aren't going to fall off the wagon until they're sitting there with the ribbons around the trophy. But I'm confident about this. I think O'Connor's a really good player to bring in when you're losing McMenamin. Not exactly the same type of player, but he's really direct and he's going to freak out players running at them. McGinn show he's going to bring lots of goals. If Burns can stay healthy, one of the best midfielders in the league. And I cannot talk more about how I think Soule was the main man that Lauren team. He was the cog that helped all the attacks come in. I think he's really underrated as a player. Yes, we talk about him as this anchor, a destroyer, who stopped the balls, but actually he progressed the balls a lot. You would see him finding his space up wide in the attacking half and pinging balls in or finding his little passes. He was the type of player that was able to unlock Miller, and it's a big loss for Lauren. But when you add all these together, does that equal Glen Torren champions? And maybe if they add a little Scandinavian player who scored plenty of goals last season in Vertanen, looks pretty dangerous to me.
Yeah, it's looking good. I think it's looking good. They've somehow, Patrick McLean has found his way back. Josh Kelly as well. Cammy Palmer, I think, was announced recently. And Josh Kelly, they're like people that know the league too. Pete, like, I know they've gone outside the league for some players, but additionally now, they're building people that know the league, that know maybe how to go to Ballymena and get a late win, or know how to play Linfield at Windsor. I'd be interested to see how Warren Feeney does. I was surprised that he was appointed. I didn't really even see that coming. I don't know. I just remember looking at my phone and Warren Feeney was announced. I know there was other big candidates in for it as well, and I can only imagine he interviewed it really, really well. It'll certainly make it interesting. And I think what I wanted to ask you, Mark, and I was driving over, like, when Rodney was at the helm at the Oval, I feel like Rodney's too respectable.
Oh, Rodney's too nice.
Rodney
yeah.
is far mm-hmm. too nice.
Like, too nice, the Glen Torren job.
Rodney's nearly that, like, father figure to us all. Mm-hmm. But Uncle what about Rodney. Warren? What would you say?
I was, as a wise man once said, absolutely delighted when Warren Feeney was announced. I was extremely happy. Very, very happy.
But it was a surprise.
It was a blink and you miss it.
Nobody saw it coming. Nobody.
You were never a fan of Feeney when he was in charge of the Blues.
Oh, no.
You said that many times before. But I'm seeing a few Glen Torren fans are starting to squint and go, you know what, actually, preseason's going all right. Disappointing not to be progressing in Europe, but it's not a complete disaster. As you said, look at those names you're saying. You were talking about they know how to perform. See, if they don't perform, out you go. Jed Olney, you're not playing. In goes Junior. Junior aren't playing. Maybe Vertanen's coming in. You have Niall McGinn, who clearly is motivated. Unlike some players who came to the league who were playing in higher leagues, he's motivated, he wants to do something. There was also a pressure with that where I think last season a bit of Glentoran, you have to go in and win the season, it's going to be a disappointment. I don't know if Glentoran fans are feeling that, and maybe with that sense where, well, if we don't win the league, it's going to be disappointing, they have more freedom to push on and to do big things. They're going to have to prove it to me, I'm not going to lie. But when I think about all the big games they could be in, Tuesday nights against Cliftonville, big Saturday afternoons against Crusaders, I can see it. Not fully, which is why I'm going to put them as second. But I can see it. I can see it. And it's just going to be like it is for anything. Like I said earlier in the podcast, 50-50. It's about not making mistakes, and it's about doing your own thing. But the thing Glentoran always does is make their own mistakes.
This is very true.
So I think with the amount of players and the bodies that they have, I think they can eliminate a lot more sticks. And we saw them get over that hump. It's not that long ago. We saw it after January. So second, close, but no cigar. I am just going to jump in to a different team. I'm going to forget the ball. I'm going to pick them out. I'll just skip them over. Let's go to Roddy McAree's team, eh? Dungannon. That was a shock, I'm not gonna lie. Dungannon finally get themselves sorted in whatever it was, like last week, when they finally played that game where they secured themselves playing top five football again last season. Dean Shields moved on. Dungannon cycled through a couple of players, getting new players in, some depart. And in comes Roddy McAree, a real homer, someone whose stock is higher than it's been in years. Mm-hmm. And he comes in, he's been given the keys to the car, and he will not want to go into that team and go, well, let's sit back, get a cup of tea on, and sure, whatever happens on Saturday happens. When we talk about Glentoran and about how they made their own mistakes sometimes, Dungannon must have been so frustrating to watch last season if you're a Dungannon fan, because they kept making the mistakes. I know you have to try and feel to get better, but I think we all saw it where they would try and play it out from the back, they would lose the ball, and all of a sudden they can see the goal, and you're thinking, it was going so well. And now you're 2-0 down, and it's all over, because you're away to Cliftonville, and it's not going to happen. Although, usually when they're away to Cliftonville, they actually won that game. So it's a bit of change. You do have Bruna's gone, Coyle's gone, Mays is gone. Brian's now away to Limfield. Abby wasn't a big factor. Roddy, Smith, Walsh. Well, they brought in a few. I think Devine, striker was going to be a big question for me. And I think Devine coming into that team, he's starting right now.
100%.
And I really believe in McAree as a coach. I really like Keelan Dillon from Warren Point. Center midfielder. A leader, being there, captain for Warren Point, been in this league for a while, but still got a bit of youth. And I don't think they're going to set the league on fire, but it's clear what Dungannon's aim is. Need to survive, need to avoid that whole mire they were in last season. And a big way of doing that is conceding less goals. And I don't know if they will do that, as it's been a couple of years. I think they've conceded like 200 goals in 2.5 seasons or something like that. But things are looking a wee bit more rosy for Dungannon than they might have done, let's say, 6-12 months ago.
I think Dungannon will be all right. I really do. Chris Hegarty's obviously come in as well. I've already announced my love for Rodney, which I'll happily do again. I really just think that they'll look back on last season and think they can't allow themselves to be in that position where it does come down to, you know, the very, very end. Putting themselves even in 11th. I actually think this Dungannon team has the potential to maybe if they get a few more signings, to actually be at the top half of the bottom six.
Yeah,
of course. I really do. I think just some of those boys that they brought in and we've talked about, there'll probably be one or two more. Rodney obviously has his fingers in the Glentoran pie and maybe a bit of Corian, and he can say to people. So I think they'll definitely be okay. I would feel more positive about Dungannon. And they've got this really nice coffee machine outside it now.
Saw that.
So good.
Rep. Love that.
Really good. Apparently really they're like, I don't know the name. Don't know if I can say the name in this podcast.
Just don't say the sponsor of the league and I'll be happy. Independent coffee shop. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But it's really, really good. Like this vending machine that just gives you nice coffee. So I just mentioned this on...
Is there not one in Lauren as well? I kind of have one. So there's a pink and orange one.
I believe it is pink and orange.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Lauren has that too as well.
I took a photo of it. It was that good.
Oh yeah. Wow. Like, maybe, who needs burgers in Dungannon when you got the coffee?
I know. It's really decent.
That's going to G them up. Get them a visit. Of course, they still have Rhys Campbell, a difference maker as well in that team. I just don't know about their back line. But as we talked about with Cliftonville, you got to believe there's going to be coaching that can maybe help them develop in that area. I'm going to say 10th. I'm going to say 10th.
7.
I think that's safe.
Which is safe, obviously. Yeah. But I just think maybe teams above them are going to get there. I just think they might lack goals and they may concede a bit more than they should. But positive, hey? This time last year, it could have been relegation. Or are you feeling a bit more tangy about the Swifts?
I wouldn't say tangy. One thing that has sort of been I've just come up with there now. They've signed Connor Mitchell, obviously from Warren Point, who got relegated in the most random circumstances ever from being second in the league. Anyway, who's going to be their goalkeeper? Are they going to stick or are they going to twist?
I think that's a battle. I do think that's a battle.
I think it's a twist for me. I think Mitchell might get in there. I think between him and Hegarty, those are two good signings. I think that sort of solidifies a few of the leaks at the back that they had. But it's maybe going to be that's changing the style of play and see what happens.
I can see them falling down while they try and build themselves up. But broadly, I think they'll be a lot more resolute than they were. Right, back in the bowl. And we have Crusaders. What I said on this podcast a lot last season is that 1-11 Crusaders, they're fire. They're hot. They look great. You look at the bench, not so hot. And they needed bodies, and they didn't really have them. And some players were either injured, like Ben Kennedy, or players weren't stepping up to the mark, like McMurray and Dean Ebe. And I feel as though that team has listened. Baxter has understood what his issue is. And while perhaps you look at the additions and don't go, okay, they've just signed a top-level player in the league, like a Fitzpatrick or something like that, they have brought in bodies. And they just believe in that club that they can develop and grow players. And they also believe that they can see the talent before it breaks through, like we have seen with Heatley and other players that they've jumped onto. Not exactly a perfect record on jumping on these players, but they have done well at times. And like a lot of people, I love these signings. It just the potential for me is amazing. Jimmy Callagher, stick him in the back. All of a sudden makes your defense even better. It wasn't an area that was super weak, but you just add that little area, beefs it up a bit more, has the experience. Lloyd Anderson can really progress, but there's no pressure on him. He can sit back and come on, and he can grow into that role. And then the one player that we're all a wee bit in love with online, I think on Twitter, James Thielen, top goal scorer for Newry last season. I believe he maybe created the most assists. He's not big in stature, but neither is Paul Heatley.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown they won, and I was there. They were able to win out in the Charity Shield, and I know it's Charity Shield. They've been doing all right in friendlies. They're doing pretty good in Europe. 2-2 against Rosenborg is no mean feat. They were amazing at Seaview last season. So if they can just stop those little silly results against Carrick away and the draw against Portadown or something like that, like if they're going to stop those results, then I think they're right in the title challenge this year.
I will finally be positive about an Irish League team. I'm very jealous of Crusaders this season. I think they've got a good thing going, and I think that this might be the year where they push on. And they're going up. They're not finishing as low as they did last year. I think that Baxter has made the right signings very, very early on in the window, mind. Yep. It seems like he signed them before the Irish Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
But Anderson, as you have said, Thielen, flavour of the month for almost every month last season. And I think Jimmy Callagher, even though he doesn't look good in a Crusaders kit, doesn't look right to me, just my eyes.
He wouldn't have looked good in that Linfield kit, though.
No, that's what I mean. So I just think that he's ticked a lot of boxes. One that's gone under the radar for me, Mal Smith. I think that's a very, very good signing. And
just
I don't know how.
Solid, just solid. It's 70 minutes gone, stick him on. Mm-hmm. You need to play him against Glenavon. Happy days.
I really don't know how the Glens have let him slip away. I think he was maybe too good to be on a bench down at the Oval. They're out as well, as you have said. They have cleared out a bit of metaphorical deadwood. Players that maybe weren't going to make that massive impact that Baxter really needed them to. But somehow Jordan Owens is still there. He's still there.
Jordan's still there. The big thing, if I can just slow down the hype train slightly, is that I really like Lecky. He's clearly their centre forward. He's their focal point. And he's going to have a big season if they're going to do damage at the top. If he isn't firing, that's a lot of pressure on Heatley, which I've seen pull them out of a hole. Ross Clark's in and out of the team. That's a lot of pressure for Owens to come on and try and get a result when it's 1-1 away to Dungannon and it's wet and there's 20 minutes to go. That's a lot of pressure. And if he isn't firing, there isn't exactly, or he gets injured, isn't exactly a rotational piece. But Laurie doesn't look like he's slowing down at all.
No way.
Neither's BJ Burns. They've got a solid midfield. They still have that spark in Heatley. And you fire that all together, guys, I think they're going to be champions at the end of the season.
Unbelievable.
I think they're going to be consistent and they're going to do exactly what Lauren did last season. Win when they need to and not lose often. And that's going to be built on home form. And it's going to be built on mental fortitude that they have. But it's going to be based on the Ulster Player of the Year. If he does not get injured, he is going to be the Ulster Player of the Year. And that is Ben Kennedy. He is amazing. He pulled the strings every time I saw him near the end of the season. He's got an eye for a pass. He is a willing runner. And if you have to fire him up top, he will. Love everything about him. I think we would have had I don't know if it would have been champions last season, but we would have seen a much better Crusader side if he was able to stay healthy. And I just think it may be 1 point, but I just think when it all checks out, they're the team that will back in the run-in, and I'm going to predict them as champions this year, which would be an incredible result.
That's awesome. No, I mean, you mentioned slowing down the train. I'm on the express over here. Like, everything you guys have said, I love. You also mentioned Ben Kennedy. Ben Kennedy came into this Crews team when it wasn't really as strong as it is now. And he, I think with these players around him, will do some scary things. They had a few bad transfer windows. I think last season they managed not to bring anyone in and then just asked for Declan Cadell to come out of retirement. Even Michael Kennedy that came from Derrickview, there's just so much excitement. I think these are people, we're talking about Jimmy Callagher leaving the Blues. Like, when BJ left the Blues and went to the Crews, he had such an impact, and I do see the same for Callagher. Like, I just think it's an exciting time if you're in red and black.
When BJ left the Blues.
Okay. I'm still not over that. That
we are nearly at the empty bowl here, and we jump in. Newry. Hey? New manager, new vibes in South Down this season. Survival last year has really given Newry the platform to tell the entire football community in Northern Ireland that we are at the top table and we have no intention to go away. They started very sharp last season, lagged significantly in the middle, but they rallied at the end. They survived. They held off Portadown. They held off Dungannon. And now you have Gary Boyle stepping up, fresh ideas with a bit of continuity. He's kept that team together. Yes, they lose James Thielen. That's what's going to happen at that part of the league. Top scorer, as he said, main assister. You also lose John McGovern on the other side. One of my favourite players in that part of the league. Really, really exciting. Driving, running. How long he'll be out, we'll have to see. And Adeyemo's gone. Big striker who I thought could hold the ball really well. He's moved on as well. So what do you do to try and fill these holes? You bring in the Championship's top goal scorer, Adam Sally. Great signing in that area of the league. Is there risks? Of course. But he scored 27 times in 32 games. You're going to take a flyer on him. And if he comes in, hits the ground running, he should fill those 10 goals that they're going to be lacking with James Thielen. You also bring in a variety of other players. It'll be interesting to see what Lee Newell can do from Rathryland. Big step up there. Bring him back O'Connor. Nice depth piece. Liam Bagnall, why not roll the dice there? Why not? See what you've got. Barney McKeown, probably one of the best players in that Portadown team. Still super young. Mm-hmm. Going to improve that defence in my eyes. You sneak in Adam Carroll, who was like in the top, one of the top 10 goal scorers in the Championship last season for Warren Point. If he can progress on still in his early 20s, you take a flyer on a few of these other players they brought in from Glebe North. I like what they're doing when they add on to this team that's already really cohesive. And goals were a problem at times, and it's not like they can bring in a Jay Donnelly to sort that out at that level. But I would feel that they should, if they can just not get a really bad run where they just cannot get out of their own funk, and the fixtures kind of sit well for Newry, I think they could be sitting very pretty, non-panicked, I would say. But it's about, as with many teams, keeping them out and scoring at the other end. And I think I have a strong chance they'll do that.
You talking numbers? What numbers are you talking for Newry City?
I'm talking 10 goals for Sally, 6 okay. for Carroll,
okay.
3 red cards for
O'Connor.
Some of the Healy's and O'Connor's. We've got numerous Healy's and O'Connor's. Yeah, Bagnall, why not? He can have 3 himself. And I'm going to say 9th.
I think
once you bring in McGovern, they lost Carville, who was a big player for them in the championship. They may have to figure out how they play because a lot of it was out wide coming in. But I think they've changed the team enough where people aren't going to know exactly how they play. And they're always a danger at a home against the bottom 6. And that is a team that has a lot of local players who are fighting for the area. You don't look at that team and go, you know, if it goes bad, they're going to give up. And they're going to fight to the end. Look, it could be a really tight affair at the bottom. It's not going to be easy. Their goal will be that they're sitting pretty, going, we don't have to worry about this. Yeah, we could get caught, but we're not going to get caught. We've got 5 games to go. It's fine. I just think 1-11, they've got a better squad than last season. And the next step up from them is towards a 9th place. And I think they should do that.
I totally agree with everything you said. 100%. I'm not joking, by the way. I think last season, they struggled in spells. That big middle spell really did look tight for them. But I think those signings, I have noted down, especially, as you have pointed out, Barney McCone, Adam Sally, and I think Carroll as well, is a phenomenal, phenomenal signing.
Ex-Blue, wasn't he?
Yeah, ex-Blue. That's not the reason I mentioned him, by the way. I think last season, they were maybe lucky in a few spells that there were 2 teams worse than them. But I think there are 2, maybe 3 teams worse than them this season. I think they might be in that luxurious position, if you can call it luxurious, of being 9th place and not having to worry about, flip, we might drop down here. And they're also not going to have to worry about booking any flights. So we'll stick with 9th.
I still don't think... I think Dungannon are better than this Newry team.
That's brave. I totally disagree.
I'm here to be brave.
I get it. But what I think Newry has is maybe a bit more goals. More potential for
100%
goals.
100% more goals.
But if Adam Sally gets injured...
Oh, absolutely. Then it'll, you know, that it could all go wrong. But they still have Daniel Hughes there.
True.
Who is a bit of work there to get him back up to where he was. You know, he lost his place in that team. Lorcan Ford as well could step up. They can always bring in other players. And there is a lot of relying on... I'm not expecting Sally to score 20 goals, but you would like to think that there's 10.
10 somewhere. To 12, 100%.
And that'd be brilliant. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic. You know, that'd be the same performance as James Thielen. I just don't see the drop-off. I see some teams getting to where they were and then go, we're fine, let's all relax. Newry scraped their way out of that relegation zone. They fought their way to get that win against Portadown, and they were not to be denied in the other games. And I think they can continue that on. They've recruited well. So, who's finishing 12th? If you've done the maths, it's Ballymena. This is a team which I feel has completely slipped under the radar. Mid-table mediocrity this season, a cup final last year, does not grant you. It was clear from when that statement came out in January this year that they were tightening their belts, that this club was set for a change, and we saw it. If you look at their results from January, first ignoring their little burst in the split, they only scored 6 goals in 14 games. If you add in the split, which was 7 goals in 5 games, in 2023, in the league, not including the cup, they just scored 13 goals in 19 games. And they've just lost their best striker in McDade. Yes, they brought in McMurray, and they will be relying on him even more than what Newry is going to be relying on Sally and all those other players they brought in. Goals were a problem. They've changed their manager. They bring in a rookie coach in Jim Irvin. Jim Irvin, what a model pro. If you wanted someone to step up, he is the man. Being there at the top, winner, went down the league, still kept fighting. He is not going to let this team get away with not going for it. But that's a big, steep learning curve. Were they in relegation trouble last season? Not according to the table, but according to the form since January, they absolutely were. So then they need to improve. Have we seen the bodies to come in to say that they're going to improve? I don't know. Newry's bringing in Sally. Dungannon's getting in Devine. Ballymena are a team who also weren't amazing at the back. Coates is probably a good player to have in the mix there, but is he going to be the difference maker week in, week out, 38 games in the season? This is not about saying I'm pointing out areas of weakness in Ballymena, even though that's clearly what I'm doing. But somebody has to finish 12th, and I feel echoes of Portadown last season, where I don't know if we have a shape, I don't know if we have a cohesive style of play, and week to week, game to game, are they going to come out on top against other teams? I saw them in the cup final, and since the cup final, they've lost some experienced players. They've lost Farquhar, who was going to be a new young spark. That's what's going to happen. Kelly's gone. McDade's gone. Ross Redmond's gone. Dougie Wilson's gone. We have not seen the same big players coming back. And it's just going to be tight. And I think when it shakes down to it, that a bit like Bordeaux last season, they seem like a big club. They are a big club. But on the pitch, they haven't been doing the business. And I worry that they don't have the personnel to potentially do the business. Is 12th shocking for Ballymena?
I think that there's enough chat about it now that we've all been conditioned to believe that this is happening. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't like to talk about relegation, but I don't think it'll happen to Ballymena boldly. I don't think they'll be bottom, but like, they have made some bold moves to be like, David Jeffrey's gone, who is like the godfather, and now to put someone in who is so new to the role, okay, they'll come with new fresh ideas, but it's a lot on Jim's shoulders, you know. Mm-hmm. I love that Coates is signed and Alex Gawn is signed as well.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of like, I don't know if Alex Gawn's gonna get 20 goals.
No.
So yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be getting excited if I was a Ballymena fan.
It's gonna be, regardless, I think it's a tough,
it's gonna
tough
be
season.
Tight.
It's going to be tough, and it feels similar to that, particularly that opening half of the season that Portadown had, where they couldn't buy a goal. And also, a slight part of this is, you know, you want to get out of the blocks, try and get a few wins. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Ballymena the start of the season?
I had that noted.
I will let you take it away.
Scary.
It is scary.
I don't think that any Ballymena fans are going to be happy.
Coleraine away, never fun. Then they host Crusaders, then they go to Larne, then they have Linfield coming to town, and then to finish off their August of fun, they host Glentoran. Realistically, that could be 5 games played, 5 losses, perhaps.
True.
Like, what would you, if you're a Ballymena, yeah, would you take 3 points and go? Now, the flip side of that is then, well, we're going to have a lot of, and Portadown had a really difficult run, if I can remember as well,
mm-hmm,
and they never got out of the traps. And in many ways, sometimes when you have that difficult run at the start of the season and then you're going against the teams where you want to get results and it's not coming, you're like, well, the players haven't got the confidence and stuff. But you do not have time in this league to try and get the confidence up. You almost have to roll with the punches, get up and go down. And I will look like a fool if they're sitting here in 4 points after the first 2 games. Because you know what? They're able to win at Seaview and they can absolutely get a result against Corian on the first game of the season.
100%. Like those, as we say, the A26 Derby, is that the official name? Not really the most catchy title for any derby, but listen, it can go either way. It's a derby day. It's an absolutely massive game for Ballymena. Very, very tough one for Jim to start on. Like, it's a very, very tough one because that could be setting the tone for a very, very long season for Ballymena. As we have already mentioned, Coetzee coming in, you have to put that with the 37-year-old Colin Coates is a very different player from even maybe a 34, 33-year-old Colin Coates.
Well, you know, it's funny. He looked very fit for Cliftonville.
Oh, 100%. I'm not saying he's a bad player.
No, absolutely. But I don't think if you added Colin Coates to that Portadown team that went down last season, you're like, oh, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just personnel. Look, they have Jordan Gibson still there. Maybe he'll progress. You have, you know, are they going to go to wing-backs? McGrory do something out wide? Ross Redmond was their biggest assister. So you're losing your top goal scorer, your top assister, experience, everything else in between. Something big is going to have to change, or Jim Irvine's going to pull out a really big thing for them to be not worrying about relegation up until the last few games of the season. And unfortunately, I'm just backing other horses. And that's it. And I'm sorry, Ballymena fans, but it's easy to say that other teams maybe get relegated. Yeah, difficult season ahead. I back Balamina to do well last season. And now, look, just be thankful. I was wrong about you last season, Balamina, in a bad way. Perhaps I'll be wrong about you in a good way at the end of this season. There's no point picking it out. We all know what the final team here is. Lorne, champions of last season, history makers. Ulster player of the year, Leroy Miller. It's not looking good in Europe for them, but hey-ho, they had a good time anyway, didn't they? North Belfast was a fun big trip for them. This is a team that still wants to keep pushing. They still have the ambitions. They are still reloading. They paid money for Levi Ives. They have kept Lee Bonus. In many ways, they got the striker they probably wanted to add this summer by getting in Andrew Rann in January. They have kept that team together. Yes, they lose Sule, but they're trying to figure out other players to put them in there. Is it going to be Sloan? Could Donnelly be moved up? I haven't exactly seen the player who's going to fill that role, but people are getting really excited about Sloan. At the back, real, real strong point. They had their title run was completely built on the back of all these clean sheets. They bring in some reinforcements in Big Omar. Oh my goodness, he's a big, big fan. I saw Stephen Baxter just looking at him at the charity shield going, oh, why can I not have you? I would play you in every position on the pitch. And they still have pretty much the same team as last season. So why am I not ranking them as champions again forthcoming season? I just don't know. I just think that they were incredibly lucky with injuries. They kept that whole team together. I know we keep talking about how if option A doesn't work for Lauren, they don't really have a second option. And they somewhat prove that isn't exactly true with the amount of wins that they got. But I'm just seeing a few little cracks here or there. Will they have the same impetus and motivation as they had last season? Perhaps. I'm not going to say they're going to fall away and it's going to be an absolute disaster. I just think perhaps in those 50-50s, and I'm not overhyping Sule's part in all this, I just think some of those 50-50s where they get a win against them field, or they don't lose to Carrick on Boxing Day, even though I know Carrick wanted the cosh there. I just think some of those 50-50s, which win you a league, just might not go their way, and it's just a gut feeling. Brilliant team, really strong team. They are going to smash a lot of this league. They've got great players. But I wonder, we all know how they play. We all know with the wide wing backs. We all know how they keep it tight in the centre and they're getting these strikers to play it wide and bring the ball back in. And I wonder, could people start doing their homework, catch Lorne out, and they could just be caught in between. I see a lot of people backing Lorne. I totally get that. My opinion is, just slip away and I'm going for third. A very short third.
Okay. I'm going to totally disagree with some of what you said. To be quite honest, I have no doubt that Lorne are going to win this league this year.
No doubt at all.
I don't think so. I think they're too good. I think that defence that was so rock solid has been fortified even more. That being Levi Ives, that being Farquhar, that being Omar.
That was a surprising signing because it looked as though that was Micheál Glidden. They invested transfer capital in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty nippy going forward. Did they need another great left back in that team?
But what they've pulled off is something that they maybe didn't have last year, which was what a lot of people were saying was experience. You know, there was some times in that season, especially when they hit that little Ballymena-sized pothole, of course, in the Irish Cup and that wobble. Mm. People were saying, have they got the experience to pull that off? Levi Ives coming into that team brings experience. He brings expertise. And he brings an absolutely massive will to win. One thing I would say that might actually point to how poor things are down at Solitude, but that's already been talked about, as we've said. And I think they've maybe done, of course they've lost Sula, but I don't think that that's going to be it's going to be big, but it's not going to be as huge as everybody expected. What I would also say is they've maybe done a bit of Crusaders and cleared out a little bit of Deadwood. People who weren't playing have now moved on. And listen, who knows? Is Umar going to be one of the greatest centre-backs in Irish League history? Who knows? Is Westerndorf going to come over from Newcastle score 40 goals?
Yeah, absolutely. Like they are hyping him up and, you know, could be a player that could just add something a wee bit different. What comes with Lauren's setup is that they have They have like more than one player to play every position. Yeah. What I don't know if they have is the type of players that can go, right, we're going 4-2-3-1 or something like that. They have two wing backs on either side. They've got five centre backs that can play, three midfielders, four strikers. But do when we have to all of a sudden go, right, we're splitting this up and we're sticking a wide forward in there, do they have the players that can change it up in that way? Maybe they don't need that. But I don't know if I saw enough times that season Lauren go a goal down and then come back. And that's because they were great at the back and that's where defences win championships. But I think that's going to happen this season a bit more than it happened last season. And I wonder, are they going to be able to be held off a bit more? They have brilliant players. Andy Ryan. They've kept a 300 grand player on their books in Lee Bonus. Maybe that's over-exaggerating because no one paid that money for him. So, again, I can't... All five teams, or all six teams, top six, want to be champions. And when we say they're not champions, we have to say why. And this is my belief. But a lot of people think, you know, like, and they're probably still going to fire in more people as we go along. And the one thing that will stay the same, I'd say, is Lauren has always looked strong in Inver. No one's really going there and taking them apart there.
I love the Lauren. They'll do that amazing release video where the camera will go over the town and you'll see the boats. And then there'll be someone wearing a Lauren shirt, but you won't know them. They'll be like, oh, we've signed, like Ali Omar, for example. I had no idea who Ali Omar was. I don't know if you both knew who Ali Omar was, but Lauren will sign and they'll unearth this class player. And you'll be like, I have no idea who this is.
And you have to admit, they've got it right a lot more than they've got it wrong.
It's true.
Who knew who Andy Ryan was before he signed? Yeah. Let's be quite honest. Well, did you?
Well, bar Hamilton fans who were absolutely got it, he was going. And okay. But that's the level. Yeah. You know, it's I was flabbergasted to read, and this is just where the Irish League is now, where Conor McManaman got sold for six figures and he's taking a pay cut to go to St Mirren, like top division team in Scotland, where they come finish sixth or seventh. And that's they're paying money for him and he's still taking a wee drop down. So they are bringing in players who probably could be playing in other leagues and they're bringing them across. So, look, the ambition will be to start all over again and win that title and create a dynasty.
Yeah,
The Lauren dynasty.
The Lauren dynasty. And you know what? At the end of last season, I thought that's what's going to happen.
Mm.
I'm like, may as well just say it's going to happen next season. And perhaps it will, but I have a feeling about other teams. Lauren, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And I think everybody's sitting there going, my judgment has been clouded by one Charity Shield. But there we are. So that's it. That's all 12 teams accounted for. The only final thing to do is to look ahead to the four games that are happening this weekend. I am so disappointed that there is only four games happening this weekend. What can you do? That's the dynamics. That's the politics of the league. Not pointing any fingers here. So we'll, as this podcast has gone on long enough, we'll swing through the games. We start on Friday night, Corrin Showgrounds, Ballymena come in. It's the A26 Derby. Do Ballymena get their eggs and throw out that their cameras going, what did you think, Peter? Huh? How'd you like that? 5-0 to us, baby. Irvine's boys are in town. That's not what I'm predicting, by the way.
If Ballymena win 5-0, I'll do something silly. I don't really know if anybody has ever thought that Ballymena would win 5-0 at the Corrin Showgrounds. Nobody does.
They've barely scored five goals in a month in 2023, so, you know.
Who knows?
Who knows? One game would be something else.
Yeah, listen, I think we saw Corrin out of the blocks last season. That big 4-2 win against Cliftonville could have been a statement win. Can this be another start of a season with a statement win against their arch nemesis? I don't know. I think they probably will, to be fair. I think it's a 2-1 win. Maybe a goal for Ballymena. That was brave. maybe 2-0. I think there's too much of a gap.
Yeah, I agree. 2 or 3, maybe.
Yeah, I think early goal in the first maybe 25 minutes, 15 minutes, all of a sudden head goes down, and I think it might be until the last few parts of the game. I think that's just 3-0 for Corrin, and we all get very excited about them next week. then we have Super Saturday. Glentoran go to Glenavon. Wasn't a particularly nice place for Glentoran to go last season. And it's funny, first games of the season can just, they're like, they are a bit like rivalry games. They can just throw up the odd bit of result here or there. the question is, can Glenavon make Glentoran stutter? I think that's a big ask, I must say. I know it's at Moorview Park, but when it comes to form, no one's really in form. So I'm going to back Glentoran here. After all the hot takes, I'm going to say, yeah, Glentoran.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think actually Glentoran will maybe blow them away. I think it could be four.
That would be some result.
And then I think that this time next week, everyone will be like, Glens.
Mm. Who needs McManaman?
Who's McManaman?
Who's McManaman? Like, mm-hmm. Who's McManaman when they have O'Connor?
Yeah.
You know, so I do feel like someone will step up. This is the game where some players are going to score two goals and then everyone's going to stick them in their fantasy team. Yeah. Next week.
Reece Marshall.
Yeah. And then
they do nothing all
and
season.
And they'll do nothing all season. I'm going to agree. Do you agree a big Glen tournament here?
Glens will win. No problem at all. Yeah. I think it's 3-0.
I'm gonna go for two.
Okay. Based on the amount of shots they had against Sierra United, I think it was something ridiculous, like mm-hmm. 20 shots. And any other night, the Glens would have won 4-0 in that European game. But I think that they'll probably give Glenavon a bit of a doing.
A six-pointer this early in the season? Oh, yes, it is. Newry City against Loughall. I think some people would say I would look daft if I did not say Loughall is going to win this game, which is why I'm going to predict a draw.
I can draw safe.
It sounds safe, but can I argue that it's not? I don't think I can.
That's one of three options.
I'd say a score draw. I think Newry will take the lead. All of a sudden, nope, not going to look good for Loughall, and Loughall are going to get a big loopy header from Duke or Ferris, and it'll be a evens game where Newry feel as though they should have won, but they just let Loughall back into it, and I think Loughall will be delighted with the draw this early. Nothing lost, point gained.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I'm going to back Loughall. I think that it's going to be that sort of fairy tale start. Do you remember when Blackpool came up to the Premiership? They won 4-0 away at Wigan, a team in blue and white that just stayed up the season before. What I was saying, that is niche knowledge. Listen, I think it's going to happen. I think it's a 2-1 win for Loughall.
Big result. I feel like that could be the exciting game of the weekend, if I'm being honest, where we're all eyes peeled on the Newry showgrounds.
All roads lead to Newry.
All roads do lead to Newry.
For the first time ever.
And it's not Friday, but at least it's under the lights for Lauren. Final game of the weekend, Dungannon go to Inverpark. Lauren will be going into this game probably after being c'est la vie from Europe. Will they come in with fire in their eyes and urgency in their hearts to take care of Dungannon? Or is this where the shock of the weekend is going to be?
I think for me, and I wanted to say this earlier on, I'm hot on Dungannon. And I even want to put it on record that there could be some sort of inter-podcast bet on Dungannon finishing higher than Newry.
Oh, I like this.
Is that because you both earlier on?
Yeah,
we wandered around that area, and we can discuss the details. But I'm Dungannon. That being said, I don't see. I really struggle to see them beating Larne. Like, it'll be Larne 1-0. Larne have done it very boringly, last season, where they just win. They just know how to win.
This is the game where look like losing. Didn't even blink.
Yeah. So they know what to do. They'll do that. But I think everyone will witness Monday night at about 10 o'clock. People will be texting me, do you know what? You were right.
You're right about Dungannon team.
You were right about Dungannon. Buying Dungannon shirts.
Oh.
Going down for coffees midweek.
midweek coffees. The burgers will have to be there 24/7.
Mm-hmm. I think I have to agree with you. It's going to be a very, very boring Lauren 2-0 win. There will be sparks from Dungannon. Mm. I think that we can see maybe what they're all about against the top six side. Obviously a very, very difficult place to go on the first day of the season is home of the champions. But
well, if an opening game at Inverpark from last season is anything to go by, it could be a very, very boring drab affair. But I'm going to say it, and I promise I'm not being contrarian here. Dungannon will take an early lead, and it will be huffing and puffing all game. Lauren will get the equaliser, and it will be 1-1. I think this is going to be a very disappointing draw for Lauren, and it's all going to be about Dungannon holding on and getting that early goal. And I think that would be pretty grim for Lauren, but they're going to be reeling off that other game on the Thursday, going in on the Monday. maybe a bit of overconfidence here or there, but that's our full lot for the first weekend. I feel like we delivered opinions, thoughts, feelings, everything else in between. If you are into fantasy football this year, I was really worried that it wasn't going to come back, but it's back. I've got my own league on the Niffle Fantasy Football. I think you whipped me both last year. I kind of lost interest after I forgot about one game. So I'll promise not to lose interest in a huff. But I have started my own league. So if you want to join me, and I'm going to bully these two fine gents to join the league as well and keep their teams updated, just search for a league and use the code KICKINMATCH. All one word. Get in. Prove that you know a lot more than I do. Although I think after this podcast, I think plenty of you probably think that yourself. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me on this big bumper episode. The kick the season off, Kick a Match Series 2 is off to a flyer. How can people find you online so that you can they can tell you how stupid I am and how I should have listened to more to what you guys were saying?
Just listen to The Wolf. Search it anywhere. Listen to The Wolf and you'll get The Waffle.
Happy days. Yeah. And is there a chance The Wolf's back?
Oh, we're back. Last season I was in London, so it was kind of impossible. And then I was telling you we wrote this really cryptic tweet.
Oh yeah.
So we're back. Unsure how things will look. John is expecting child number two.
And when's he due?
He's due very short. Well,
very shortly. No,
a couple of weeks. I don't know.
You don't know. It's no. A miraculous birth here. It's going to be great.
First of its kind.
Mark, you're unbelievable at Irish League Twitter, so I'm sure everybody listening to this will know you very, very well. But if they want to find you, how are they going to do it?
Yeah, we're Fly Nets Pod on Twitter. We're also on Instagram. We're not so cool on Instagram. We're not down with the kids on Instagram.
Instagram's hard.
It is very difficult.
Yeah, you're good at Instagram.
You're very
Peter.
Good at Instagram.
Yeah. I barely post anything.
We're not cool enough for Instagram.
We're not. You've got it.
Guys, this is cute.
Our Instagram handle is yours.
No,
Kicking Match.
I Kick a Match on Twitter and on...
I'm just going to have a link on our Instagram directly to yours.
No one ever asks you this question. Guys. This is what's nice. I'm invited yours? These fellas. I'm at Kick a Match on Instagram, Facebook, and the website formerly known as Twitter. Or you could just follow... or you can just follow at Peter Cinnamon for more wrestling texts and Irish League texts. You know, that's where I split my time up between the two. But... guys, it's been great to have you here, surrounded by 3 billion wedding cards. And you actually added to it as well, Connor. Thank you very, very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'll leave that there. Gents, rocking and rolling up in the Irish League.
That's cool.
I will chat to you all very soon. See you next week. There we go. Another one wrap up once again. Season 2, we're back. It was really nice to jump in with guys from other podcasts, talk about the season ahead. It's amazing that we're almost approaching 1 year of Kicking Match. It's been a bit of a mad one, that's fair to say. I believe it's the 9th of August is the first time I ever put up an episode. So we are approaching that. But the main thing is, we're back. Football's back. If you enjoyed this, please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can ask your smart speaker if you're new, if you want to go hands-free, you can do that. Just say, hey, smart speaker, please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast. I will be with you weekly. It will just depend week to week what the day is. If there's a game on a Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is, from Tuesday, Wednesday, keep checking. Or if you want it straight to your phone and you are a Spotify user, you can subscribe or follow, whatever it is. You can go to the page, follow, subscribe. You'll get me notifications. You'll get it straight away. There's like hundreds of you who do that. So you can join that fun little club if you want to. And just relax and know that whenever it comes out, you are going to be the first to know. If you want to get in touch with the program, it's kickingmatch@gmail.com. Until then, I will see you next week. Enjoy your football.